Blog Talk Radio.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Brothers and sisters of the Celestial and his brother Wisdom. We've got a lot going on right now, and what I'm going to need you guys is complete attention in this situation. That's all right. The collapse has begun. All right. I need you all to understand what's going on. The collapse has begun. Alright? And when we talk about the collapse, we're talking about this entire system. Alright? These inorganic beings have done so much to our planet over these past energy cycles. What we've missed, what, 80, what was that, 90 energy cycles, something about that, 80 to 90 energy cycles. So over these past energy cycles, these inorganic beings have done so much damage to the planet, destroying trees, destroying the original beings, the original kindred of this world, taking their part in destroying certain structures that were designed to keep a certain level of balance on the planet, destroying the sacred timelines of the original kindred. All right? They've done so much, all right, on this extremely high level. And me being as a shaman, me being as a cosmic prince, me being as one who sit among the council of the cosmic council of elders, you know, me being as one who is the most high on the planet, you know, my position, you know, is to let you all know what's going on and to get you all prepared as I am preparing myself. All right? We are coming into the time of the closure of the world that we know today. All right? Remember, we wrote this in the book. In the book that they call the Bible, we wrote this. All right? It was written on the walls by the Hopis, the Aztecs, the Mayans, and which Mayan I found out, I got to get the right name for our tribe, but they were not Mayans. It was these inorganics who named us Mayans. All right? But we wrote this stuff on the wall because we had already time traveled, and we wrote it long before the invasion because we saw it coming. We fought as much as we could fight, but we had our own within our universe against us also, as they were under this, I call it an apocalyptic spell, all right? And that was, you know, when you talk about the word apocalypse, apocalypse means to be to revealed. All right? So it was a spell that was revealed, you know. So what we're facing, my brothers and sisters, is a situation of a collapse of this entire system. And this is why myself, we stress, all right, I am Sima Batnuturi Anu, Chimerian Anunnaki, paired up with my kindred Osiris. As a shaman, we always take the energy or the spirit of one who was great, and we pair up with one. All right? So I am paired up with Osiris. And we link into extremely high realms and talk. So today I had an exercise I had to do, and after my exercise, it was revealed that our planet and the cosmos and nature are coming together as one. And remember a while back, those who've been following for a while, remember a while back we said it's going to come to a point of time when the parallel worlds are going to come together and everything is going to disappear, all these buildings and everything that they created, the money, everything is created, and the parallel worlds are coming together. All right, so we have our planet right here. This is our planet right here, and this is the other world right here. So it's kind of like coming together like this. All right? So we've got the cosmic energy coming in, and these parallel worlds must come together, the masculine and the feminine. So we're in the feminine. This is the feminine energy right here. Our planet is feminine, but we have an identical planet that's pairing up spiritually with our planet, which is a masculine. All right? And what's going on all along the West Coast, all the way into Canada, Siberia, Greece, Turkey, all parts of Europe, Russia. All right, did I say the Arctic Circle? All on fire. Right now, the Arctic Circle right now is reaching temperatures of 200 degrees. So these inorganic beings who call themselves, say, well, we're up north, and they try to create some kind of cold weather, just know that the first thing that they're going to use their stupid, dumb, forecasters, weather forecasters, to say, we're looking at Arctic air. Just know that there's no Arctic air, because in the Arctic right now, the Arctic is on fire right now. Why? Because we got spiritual energy coming in. All right? This is the cosmos, Mother Cosmos, pushing, and she's got her hand under, she's got her hand under our planet, and she's mending the parallel worlds together. Why? For the original beings of this planet. All right? It's all for the original beings of this planet. So she's mending everything together, so that this entire world, the system, you gotta understand, when you talk about a world, when you said the world is gonna be destroyed, we're talking about a system on the planet, not the world, but the system. So this system, this world that they created, this world of money and things, this world of fame and fortune, you know, this world of position and the fate dominance, that's going to come to an end. It's going to be destroyed. And it's going to be destroyed by fire. Alright? It's going to be destroyed by fire. So that's what's happening right now. You got all the West Coast, they're on fire right now. And it's been burning. And it's coming closer. I'm looking at the charts, and right now, it's at Colorado. They're worried right now, because they say, well, the Colorado River, you know, they had to shut it down. They had to shut down the Hoover Dam. Lake Mendocino in California, Lake Oroville in California, which are both dams. They had to shut them down. We told them, we said, we're going to take away everything, every resource that you use to get money. We told them we're going to destroy your money system. We told them. So while everybody else is running around here thinking about some virus and all this other stuff, it's only a facade so that you won't see what's really going on. Greece is on fire, Turkey's on fire, parts of Europe is on fire, the other parts of Europe that's not on fire are being flooded every day, washed away. We wash our hands of you, all of you reptilians and draconians and other species, whatever. We, as the high cosmic beings, we wash our hands of you. You've done so much damage that we see nothing else but destruction in your path. So now we destroy everything. We destroy everything. We told you guys that we were going to destroy it. There's nothing to fear. Brothers and sisters, do not fear. Alright? Throw your caskets away. Your money is no good. Why throw your caskets away? Because what did we say? We are going to transcend without death. We're going to transcend without death. So the collapse has already begun. All that cattle The cows are not natural. The cows are some creatures that was mended from a bull, a deer, and a dog. These are three different creatures that were not supposed to be mended together. This is how a cow was created. A bull, a deer, and a dog. Alright? And these inorganic beings did this in their laboratories. And then they did a mass production of them. Now they're cloning them. But guess what? They're not being able to be fed anymore because we're drying up everything. Everything is on fire because the cosmos, nature, the planet, parallel worlds, are all coming together as one to bring balance to our planet. This is why we've been telling everyone, you must build, 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 build. You must build. You must understand the importance of building structures so that you can pull in that energy, so that you can help yourself to transform into a higher being. We're in the plasma apocalypse. We told you that plasma is going to reveal itself. Warnings are coming everywhere. The collapse has begun. A guy comes to me and talking about Bitcoin, and I said, you know, I just laughed at him. And I said, do you understand that, you know, Bitcoin was created by the same beings who created money? They want everybody to think that Bitcoin was something that was created by somebody in some cross seas somewhere in some secret coin. No. Bitcoin was created by the same government corporation that created money. Yeah. So all this is going away. All this is going away. But just remember, the internet will always be here. Wi-Fi, which is wireless, what they call it, it's an energy where you can tap into the internet no matter where you go. So that Wi-Fi is a part of the internet. The internet is an organism. All right? The internet is an organism. And we'll always be here. All you have to do is link into the radio, you know. And remember, we as the original, we have three different radio stations within us. You can link into planetary, you can link into universal, or you can link into cosmos. All right? So we have three different radio stations within us. And that's all a part. That's a part of the original internal networking system, dealing with the kinetic energy and the dark energy, dark matter. All right, cosmic energy, the force of nature. I mean, all this coming together, plasma. You know, all this. I mean, it's highly complex. But the collapse has begun, and we're watching it and we're seeing it. And you're going to the grocery stores now and they're not having nothing. You see China shut down their ports forever. Why? Because China is broke. We told you all we want to break their system, and we're breaking their systems. My brothers coming down. And that's when the real war begins. The collapse has begun. And as they collapse, we're supposed to rise. So you must build. The only way you rise is you build. You just don't rise and walk around. And no, you have to build. You have to build structures. Build designs. Create. Don't say what you don't have. Link it to what you have. You make your decision from there. I just want to share that with you all. The collapse has begun. Part of the world's on fire. 15 states in the U.S. in this United States corporation, which 15 states in the area of Atlantis are burning right now. And these beings are steadily trying to create rain. The rivers and lakes are depleting. We told you we're going to take away the water. We're going to take away their source. Every resource that they use to make money. We told you we're taking it away. Oh, Yellowstone. They were making big money on Yellowstone. What do? We put that shock in Yellowstone. and the energy is there, and someone keeps telling, asking me that, oh, you need to erupt. Yellowstone is already doing what it's doing. You let the energy go there. You don't go back anymore. You let the energy build up. Just like we did the stock market. We went to the stock market. We sent that energy. Remember that meditation we did? We went to the stock market. We sent that energy. You don't go back. You just let the energy build. You don't want to disturb what you did. We went into the world banking system. When we sent the energy into it, what happened? It collapsed. Oh, yeah. It collapsed on the day, September 19th, 2019. Which was the end of their contract that they had, that 400-year contract that they agreed with, you know, the Galactic Federation. Yeah, that's when the World Bank collapsed. And then from that point on, they created chaos, or tried to create chaos. All right, so the collapse has begun. All right. What we've been telling people, stock up canned goods, dry goods, water, because it's going to be a short period of time before we finally evolve that we're going to need these food resources. Understand that we're in a very powerful moment where things are going to be revealed for what they are. Many of these so-called rich beings are running, getting off the planet. They're running. All right? They're running. Because they know what's coming. And they're trying to take their money with them because that's the only source of power. You know? But it's just like Gilligan's Island. If you remember Gilligan's Island, you had a millionaire. And he was on the island. And all the money that he had was worthless. He couldn't use it. They're going to a whole new planet with all their money. It's going to be worthless. They don't even know what they're running into. I do, but I'm not going to talk about that. But understand where we stand, my brothers and sisters. Understand where we stand. It's important that you remain in balance. Don't get caught up in the media hype. You know, now they want to talk about Brother for Light and all that stuff. You know, we put it all in the media. Stay in balance. Whatever happened to him, happened to him. He put himself in that position. He was already out of balance anyway. But the whole key point is that we have to see the things that's happening right now around the world. Right now, Greece is hitting temperatures of 180 degrees right now. Turkey hitting temperatures of 100. And 60 degrees. I already told you the Arctic Circle is already hitting temperatures of 200 degrees. Oh yeah, it's supposed to be cold up there. Remember, the two points, Antarctica and the Arctic Circle, they were the hottest points of our planet. Yeah, the two points. The most southern and most northern were the hottest points of our planet before that fall. When this collapse is done, when this system is done, our planet will never fall again. We will continue to fight for our planet because there are other beings out there within the cosmos who want to get our planet because our planet is the only planet in this part, this region of the cosmos within our universe that we created to regenerate. There are other planets like that in the cosmos, but in this part of the cosmos, all right, in this universe, our planet is like the only planet that is designed to regenerate everything quickly under the right conditions. That's why it was so hot all the time, because it would be regenerating, and these beings came to try to make it cold so they can survive and offset the balance so that they can steal the resources. Guess what? No more. No more. We told you. Nikiata Hadiakamu Marnaka Nera Dela Makude Masha Nala Kai Sharahu Mura Kamakdala Pisa Rahalakuma Netas Turopkata matata na lela kabu shata nagi siraro mokara mata de dako nishoku nota kima. We told you, we warned you. Now wrath comes upon you, and we're not going to tell you what's going to happen. All power to the multi-chakra celestial angelic beings. May chaos reign with you forever and ever and ever. Much power to you all.
All right, guys. Words, words, words. Thank you guys for tuning in to another podcast on Hampton Words Radio. As you guys know, I'm your host, Rudy Seven Oracle, guys. And today on Motivational Classroom, guys, those that know that it's very important to be aware, right? So,
and when I say good, I don't mean perfect. I mean that you're aware.
And when you say good, you mean positive.
I mean aware. Right. It's no good if you're not aware, even if you're positive. You could be emulating something positive. That's no good. You know, it's good when you're aware. I'm aware that I'm bad. I'm aware that I'm happy. I'm aware that I'm sad. I'm aware that I'm, you know, old. I'm aware that I'm new. You know, when you're aware, that's good. You know, that could take you to everywhere.
As many of you know that I'm incorporating that in a lot of the podcast going forward because it is very important to be aware. Excuse me, it's very important to be aware, right? To be aware. So today's podcast, guys, is about, you know, what's going on in the shadows. You know, there are a lot of secrets. There are the secret government, the secret, you know, organization, you know, just things that lurk, you know what I mean? And they're kept hidden, you know, for whatever reason, right? And I had chose this podcast has been on the calendar for a while, and I just kept rescheduling because I like to talk about, I don't like to talk about real heavy things like, you know, the shadow government and stuff like that, but I do know that it's very important to be aware, right? So I chose this lecture. I haven't listened to it in about a year, but I chose this lecture because I just wanted to, you know, raise the awareness and bring forth other people, you know, teachings and stuff like that. And I didn't listen to the full because, as you guys know, I like to listen and grow and research with you all, right? Now, he's going to go into about how a lot of things have been expunged. Like, when you start researching in the early 2000s, I mean, they were like, when YouTube really first hit, there was a lot of things available, you know, for you to research, and people were just putting out unfiltered information. You know, teachers like Bobby Hemmett and Steve Freeman L. and Dr. Dale Blair, some of my favorites, Panic. Miss Blue, she was another favorite of mine early on. But it's very important, as you know, here at Enhancing Awareness Radio, is to do your own research, right, guys? I just serve, like, as a networking tool to network different people together, different channels together, you know what I mean? And what we do here at Enhancing Awareness Radio, as of now, right, for the Motivational Classroom and the Spiritual Soul Sundays, guys, so please know that all of my video credits are going to be in the show notes. I've been doing real good about giving people their credit. And if I don't mention them in the podcast, I definitely have it in the show notes for you guys to go like and subscribe. You guys know Brother Wisdom Remedy H on YouTube. You know, I definitely encourage you to be watching his videos. Amazing about Cosmic. That's the Cosmic update. Update, okay? As far as what's going on in the current, that video that he did was kind of dated. I don't think the stuff is still on fire or anything like that, although the whole point of being aware without all of the distractions that go on, it's important to be aware of the cosmic order that is happening, the reason why they give us all these distractions, you guys, you know what I'm saying? So be aware, enhance your awareness in your own way. So I'm going to take a listen. This is one of the longer heavier podcast where he's going to be pointing out a few things, guys. And there's a lot of it is dated information, but again, putting the pieces together, how you put it together, is going to be very important, all right? And guys, make sure you join me tomorrow. I chose the book of the day, excuse me, the book of the month, word magic. the words that we cast, you know, by saying every day against each other, on each other, for each other, however. But word magic is very important, so I'll be doing that tomorrow on Hanson Awareness Radio. All right, guys, as you guys know, I'll be back to close out. This is, I think about, I don't know if we have time for the complete, but we're just listening. I want to say I don't know much about this brother, but you know, whatever walk, I have a need to do a disclaimer. Whatever walk, whatever talk, whatever you choose to navigate in your life is your choice. All right, never allow anyone to tell you what's right or wrong for you. Okay, and many of you guys already know that. So, all right.
My name is Petty Sina Tebtu Ura'e, and I've been over a 30-year student teacher of the profound doctrine of the master teacher, known to us as Padabab Yananin, also known as Dr. Malachi Z.K. York, who has been teaching us ancient culture we identify as Wu Sabat, also known as Wu Nawak, which stands for those who make decisions based on sound right reasoning, based on the principles of Ma'at, based on the wisdom of the Hutu. In essence, our culture is about living in harmony with natural nature, as our ancestors once did. We argue that the challenges that Black people are dealing with all over the world are due to us living foreign cultures that we've been introduced to almost over 6,000 years ago. And we've been on a downward spiral to where we are now, where we've lost power, world respect, control over our own land and resources. And we argue this is all due to the fact that we've gotten away from our original culture, which allowed us to build our great, phenomenal societies that we used to, you know, live by and control. And we say that the only way we're going to fix our problems is getting away from the foreign cultures that is the root cause of our bad decisions and getting back to our original culture, which we call our Wu Sabat, also known as Wu Nawak, also Nukul. It is an ancient culture that goes back to ancient Kemet, actually originate with pre-dynastic Egypt. And this is what we're teaching. And I'm just one of many students across the globe who have dedicated themselves to trying to re-educate our people about this culture and why it's important and why it's significant. I always like to say I'm not above making mistakes, so if I do make any errors or mistakes, do not hesitate to correct me. I have no problem in correcting any mistakes that I do, so I think that's important for you guys to know. Now, and getting started. Every week, we go over our principles of our culture that we live by, the core principles of Wustabat / Wunawat, right? Principle number one is Ashak, and Ashak stands for the power of love. In essence, we argue that this is the first key towards us correcting ourselves, is getting back to understanding what Ashak really is. And we did a lecture on that, so I'm always recommending people to definitely check out all the past lectures that we've done. Principle number two is resurrection. It's about becoming goddesses and gods once again by us learning to reopen our third eye. We did discussions on that, so definitely check that lecture out for those who have not seen it. And if you've seen it, I'm always telling you guys, as I say every week, watch it again. Principle number three is the wisdom of the Hutu and Ma'at. The Hutu stands for our divine mind, and Ma'at stands for order, right? And we did the questions on that. So, you know, I'm always telling people to definitely check those particular lectures out. Principle number two is relationships. As an African people, we always live of, for, and by each other. We did a lecture on that. So definitely, guys, check those out for those who have not seen it. Principle number four is morphic resonance / matrix. Morphic resonance stands for sound, color, vibration, frequency, that produces matrices, that which are the materials that manifest through nature. The number six is soul and spirit. Your soul is your emotional body, and your spirit is your life force. We did lectures on that, so definitely check that out. Principle number seven is Leviathan equals moon culture, a.k.a. religion, a.k.a. Western culture. For those who've not seen that particular lecture, we did a lecture on that, so definitely check that out. Principle number eight is health. Health, first key to health is positive mind, we always teach. And as melanated people, we need a lot of sunlight. Our body is 70% water, so you need water. Fasting, we recommend fasting at least once or twice a week. We recommend a herbal diet. That's something that Dr. Sabi had always talked about and taught. Exercise, that's the key to health. Learning rhythmic breathing is also key to health. Meditation, concentration, prayer, and chanting. All of those are principles of health. As we always teach, health is not just physical, but it's also spiritual. Health is not just physical, but it's also spiritual. We live in a culture, in Western culture, they don't teach this. And we, obviously, you know, this is a key requisite to health. And we argue this is why so much of our people are having so many health problems, because they don't understand the balance between the two. Principle number nine is acknowledging the creative force. It's identified as Pa'ut, which just stands for the all, or all, actually. And creation is based on what we say, the smat, based on the cycles of nature. Right? We're always changing from what we teach is sun cycles to moon cycles to sun cycles. And existence itself is based on this energy of existence we call Akash, or it translates to ether. It's the energy of existence itself. All things are made of the essence of Akash. Okay? Now, as students of Wustabat, we have three primary goals. We always try to teach and explain. Goal number one is to raise the self. Goal number two is to fight Leviathan. And goal number three is to work to build Sabathia. Now, going back to goal number one, in raising the self, what we teach is similar to what the Christians teach, is about being born again, giving up the old cultures of the Western culture and learning to live our new culture, which is Wustabat, right? So that's the first and foremost key to one learning to develop or raise themselves. And in that process is changing your name, okay? That's important. Correcting your name to us to be your name and make it known to all. Also correct your dress, right? As African people, we have our own dress code. So it's important for us to begin to start identifying what our style of dress. Also learn to speak our language, to obey it, right? You must study our doctrine each and every day which builds your sound right reasoning skills. This is one of the reasons why we're teaching what we're teaching, to help our people make better decisions, okay, which is based on sound right reasoning. And then obviously you'll see the your life transform for the better. Then we also argue you must practice and master our daily rituals designed to turn yourself inside out. This is how you open your third eye, by doing a ritual consistently, daily, at least anywhere from 30 days to 90 days before you begin to see results. And nothing can be accomplished without the positive mind. So we always teach, always be positive. Number two in our goals is to fight Leviathan. This includes working to freeze Panabab Unanim, promoting Wooster Bat, become a student teacher, and fight the six strongest weapons of Leviathan, which are ignorance, fear, ego, anger, our lust/desires, and lies/deceptions. This is all what Leviathan sees offers. And then the goal number three is work to build Sabathia. We work to support each other in business. We help each other reach positive goals. We help to build our culture. We must set up a landing zone for Panathoto in Africa, which means we need land in Africa that would be supported by an African government. Guys, we have to get our own land to begin to build up our culture. And this is one of our most primary goals. And Ashok is the key to accomplish all our goals. Now, what does it mean to be a Sabaean? A Sabaean is someone who is thoughtful and cares, someone who is helpful and honest, someone who is responsible and hardworking, someone who demands justice and honorable, someone who is righteous and humble, someone who is positive and cheerful, someone who is loving and peaceful, someone who is kind and considerate, someone who is neat, clean, and orderly. Now, our purpose to beings is liberation from adverse forces. This is our goal, to liberate ourselves from adverse forces. So, one, you must take action each and every day to free yourself of six evil spirits inside and out, which includes black people who are possessed by these spirit forces. Number two, acknowledge and fight six evil from promoting capitalism, the gay agenda, miscegenation, the so-called equality of the races, and racism and white supremacy. These are the things we're trying to liberate ourselves from. And then number three is to learn, live by, and promote the laws/rules of natural nature. Now, word of advice to everyone, do not judge this doctrine by watching the behavior of Panabab Unanim nor his students. Judge this doctrine by the effectiveness of the information, a.k.a. information, that you personally put to practical use. This doctrine is based on self-authentication, guys. It's based on, because our doctrine is based on spiritual development. And if one doesn't focus on developing himself spiritually, then you're not going to get the benefit. Also, know that we are not preachers, but teachers who are dedicated to answering questions until there is a meeting of the mind, teacher and student, who then can work in unity, which is the only solution to our problems, guys. So that's key, right? Very key that we understand it. Okay. So all that being said, let's see. Before we start it, we always do our prayer system in our language, and we translate it into English. So for those who are not familiar with our language, Sabathia, Musa'u, you can read it or go over it or follow me in the English as I'm going to, translate. Now, keep in mind, prayer is key, right? Prayer is key because what prayer does, designed to, it's designed to help develop you spiritually, because this is what our ultimate objective is to develop ourselves spiritually. And so I cannot stress or talk about prayer enough. This is what's going to help transform us, doing the rituals. Prayer is a part of the ritual itself. And that's for those who don't know. For those who know, you know. But let's get started with the prayer. By Aday Kalal Namasat Wusako Amaka Samun Shalal Poot. Panan Safar Pawun, Pasawabu Pachara, Z Kawuna Nazula Lahat Enkum, Manas Sabat Wu Masat. Amah Haday Enum, Shafayum, Manas Salafu, Wu Nasaru, Aju Layan Nafakum, Afuk Shane Kawun Kuma, Pasawabu Pachara. Anun kawa enkum lehe panang shafei un wu alaj. Anun kawa enkum lehe nasui nun. Anun kawa enkum lehe ashuk. Enkum after salafu nun. Anun after fana ukum. Anun talubna sa kuma. Anun talubna sa kuma. And so nun sayum nasari. And so nun salafu nun. Anun after musfahu. This book is the truth and the way. It was sent down to you all, Sabaat, Wusaat, star constellation, as a guidance and a healing from our ancestors and overseers. Return to your home, accept what is yours, the truth and the way. We thank you all for this healing and cure. We thank you all for not forgetting us. We thank you all for Ashok. You are our ancestors. We are your children. We seek your help. We seek your help. Help us, divine overseers. Help us, our ancestors. We are Mufa'u. Anun. Atu. Atu. All righty then. Okay. So today's discussion is we're going to be talking about the secret government. This is something that the master teacher has been introducing or has introduced to us as far back as 1970s or the 60s even. About the secret government, and he's written a series of books that were dedicated to the subject matter, which is the books we call Leviathan. In fact, the master teacher has written, I think, 6 editions of that series, the Leviathan series. So for those of you who have access to those books, what those books are focused on is teaching about this concept. Leviathan is a terminology that comes out of the Bible for those who do not know. And it's actually really based on 2 words, right? The first word is Levi, which stands for law, and Athan, which stands for sin. So it translates to the law of sin or the laws of sin. Now, why is that significant? Because when you research the name sin, sin is an ancient name for the Akkadian or Sumerian moon god, okay? Sin represents the moon. Now, there's 2 types of cultures on the planet, sun culture and moon culture. As African people, our original culture is sun culture, which is why we all identify as children of the sun. And then you have the opposite of sun culture, which is moon culture. And moon culture represents the children of the moon, which are the AKA the Caucasian race. Okay? And so when we say the spell of Leviathan, what we're really saying is that our people are living a culture which is moon culture, which is adverse to our nature. Because what does the moon represent? The moon stands for a dead solar body. There's no life on the moon. The moon doesn't have any vegetation, any plant life, any animal life. It's a dead solar body. And so it's a culture that represents the dead. And that's why white people call themselves the Caucasians, because as we always teach, caucus stands for a dead body, a caucus. And so they say caucus Asians. So they're the Asiatic children or the Hindu children or the albino Hindu children. And they have deteriorating flesh, or their flesh is white. It lacks melanin. life-giving energies to be able to live in the sun, you know, so they're moon children. And their culture is based on moon culture, and it's the culture of death. So when we look at the European culture, all we see is death and destruction and mayhem. And this has been their history since they've been running around on the planet for at least 6,000 years. And so when we say our people are under the spell of Leviathan, what we're saying is that they're addicted to this moon culture. They're addicted to the culture of death. They literally are. And for the last 50-some-odd years, the master teacher has been trying to re-educate us about getting away from this culture, this death-based culture that's destroying us. But unfortunately, so many of our people, they, because of this hypnotic spell, they just can't comprehend it. They don't understand it. And so teacher wrote these series of books called Leviathan, which are dedicated to trying to educate our people about this moon culture, about this culture of death, in essence. I was trying to find to see if I had an image, had one of the books, but I don't have, I would have swore I had that particular book to show you guys the Leviathan series. And, well, you know what? I'm sure it's on the, it's online. I know it has to be online because that's a very popular book. Let me see if I can find it, because I think it's important for people be familiar with this particular book. Okay, yeah. Okay, so this is the image. So this is the bag. Somebody's selling it on Amazon. Oh, why did I do that? Hold on. All I gotta do is this. And let's see what it did. Here you go. So this is the image of the book, you know, the Leviathan series. This actually, I have this particular copy. This came out in 1989, 1990. This is part of the third edition, and then you have these editions of it. Like I said, we probably put out about six editions of this particular subject matter. And this particular subject matter goes into explaining the secret government, okay, which is what we're here to talk about. The secret government. So I highly recommend you guys studying that. I think a lot of students and the master teachers really haven't put enough time into really understanding the effect of the secret government in our lives. You know, I think if we really understood the effects of the secret government in our lives, it helps shape our decisions. Religion is about giving us the right knowledge, which will help shape the type of decisions that we're making, you know. And so I can't stress that enough. Now, in getting started with our discussion, first question we deal with is, what is the secret government? Answer, there is a hidden government that functions out of public view. The hidden government controls the visible government that operates within. Hidden government is worldwide in power and reach. This hidden government makes decisions on warfare, economics, social trends, media, entertainment, religion, science, basically all levels of domestic life, the secret government has influence. This secret government comes from secret societies that have existed for thousands of years on Earth. I want to refer to, if you look at Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 6, it talks about the sons of God coming down to Earth. In essence, ETs that are coming down to the planet Earth and taking the daughters of man and having children with humanoid women. And this is the beginning of this, what we call the secret society bloodline. Okay? So it goes back that far, or at least on this planet, that these particular bloodlines, when you begin to research this subject matter of the secret government, being that these individuals who are ruling this planet, the AKA secret government, they are descendants of this specific bloodline from these specific types of ETs. And we're going to get more into that. Also, you refer to Revelation chapter 12, okay? It talks about these ETs coming down to Earth. Let's see if we can bring that up in a second. All right, let's see. I think that's a very important King James Version of the Bible. Let's see, Revelation 12. Now, if we go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, it says, there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither were their place found anymore in heaven. Now, when the Bible talks about the heavens, as we always teach, it's talking about star constellations, Orion star constellation, Andromeda, the Pleiades star constellation, Lyra star constellation. Those are the heavens, okay? And it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. So this being was cast on into the earth, deceiving human beings on the whole in the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, we're cast out with him. So again, the Bible confirms that these beings came down to the planet and have been causing mayhem and havoc ever since. And this gives you some insight about the scope of what we're dealing with when we talk about the secret government. Okay? And in fact, the president, one of the first presidents to warn American public about the secret government was John F. Kennedy. So for those who are not familiar with it, what he said in regards to the secret government, listen to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, the secret oaths, and the secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the danger of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our people do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official potential and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, where his rank is higher law, civilian or military, could interpret my words tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world, monolithic and ruthless conditions that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligent, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silent, not praised. Is questioned, no rumor is spreaded, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of this program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking the faces to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. I have complete confidence. And the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed.
Okay, so that's the warning of public back in the 60s about the secret government. He wasn't the only president that did that. In fact, we're going to get into the other president, which is Dwight Eisenhower, also warned about the secret government. But it's weird because it's like, you know, like I said, the master teacher has been trying to explain so long, but it for whatever reason, our people are having a hard time accepting it, you know, and embracing it. But hopefully by the end of this discussion, people will be a lot more informed about the secret government and its mentality, its purpose, its agenda, and the fact that it's real. We got to get to the point and acknowledge that the secret that is real. It's not fake. It's a reality. You know, now, next question. Is there any other way to know that this secret government is real? Answer is yes. There is a person named Professor Michael Glennon who has written and lectured on this subject for many years. He argues that the U.S. government operates in two layers, one layer for the public and another layer that is private. The private layer government makes the real policies the government functions on. Then there is another person named Edward Griffin, who was a reporter who wrote a book back in 1994 called The Creature from Jekyll Island. This book is about how the wealthiest and most powerful bankers from around the world wrote the Federal Reserve Act that created the 16th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Now, keep in mind how unelected private citizens of the U.S. as well as foreign nationals are writing U.S. federal law. The question to ask is this possible? The answer is simple, which is the U.S. government is not ran by elected officials but controlled by an elite few white men around the world. The journalists and so-called truth tellers by the name Alex Jones exposed members of the secret government who each year at a remote resort in California called Bohemian Grove perform a ritual to their overlord called Moloch, a.k.a. the Owl God. That is also a symbol they put on a U.S. dollar bill. Guys, now, for those who don't know, you can look at the front of the U.S. dollar bill, and they had that owl god that they worship, Moloch. They worship these beings, these spirit beings, and ETs, guys. It's very real. So, you know, unfortunately, YouTube has been, in essence, sanitizing their videos. They've been erasing a lot of videos that have been putting this stuff out over the years. So it's actually been harder for people to research and look this stuff up. Okay, but here I want to show you guys another couple of videos. One is about what's his name, Michael Glennon, who's talking about the secret government, or what he calls it, the double government. But listen to this.
It's the dean at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University here in Medford, Massachusetts, and I'm with one of our outstanding tenured faculty members and very good friend, Professor Michael Glennon, who is one of our leading professors in international law. Welcome, Michael.
Thanks for having me here, Jim.
Well, what I want to talk about today is Michael's new book, which has the extremely alluring title of national security and double government. Now, I'm sure the first thing that occurs to anybody is, I don't even like the government we have. Why do I have to have a double government or a double helping of government? But this book is much more than that. It is a serious, clarified, and very clear set of observations about national security and how our government functions. So I've asked Michael to talk a little about that. If I could, how did you get interested in this in the topic, Michael?
Jim, I was a bit puzzled and troubled why national security policy remained almost unchanged from the Bush administration to the Obama administration. So many elements of that policy are virtually identical, from drone strikes, covert operations,
Guantanamo Bay,
Guantanamo, NSA surveillance.
That's a great point.
You go right down the list. It's an amazing continuity. And I thought it would be interesting to try to understand and explain that.
So I think that brings us really to the heart of it. What is double government?
So double government is a concept that was devised in the 1860s by one of the founders of the Economist magazine, Walter Badger.
Okay.
He used it to describe the relation of the British government. And he suggested that the British government had split, in effect, into two sets of institutions. One of those sets of institutions was for public display or show, the monarchy, the House of Lords, which people believed ran the government, but he said, in fact, the government in its day-to-day operations was run by a set of concealed institutions, the cabinet, the prime minister, and the House of Commons. And he...
Okay, so he... I don't want to go too much into it. But so he wrote a book on it explaining about another layer of government, okay? In fact, here's a report to the news channel, RT, who actually talked about this particular guy's book. I actually like their reporting on it because they actually give some good details. I'll get to your question as soon as we get through with our discussion, okay? But listen to this, because they're talking about the guy's book.
The Kaiser Report. I'm Max Kaiser. You know, the system is rigged. Markets are rigged. The vote is rigged. Rigged, 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 they say, but who are the riggers? Who gets to draw up the list? The list not only of the deplorables, but the list of the tolerable, the acceptable. Who writes these lists? Does Stacey write the list? Possibly. What's the after? Stacey, do you write these lists?
I have one name on my list.
Okay.
So, yes, everybody in America is saying that the elections are rigged. Hillary Clinton says that Russia is going to rig the election. Trump says Hillary is rigging the polls across states across the U.S. The Podesta emails show that Hillary, in fact, did say to banks and bankers in private that she believes the system is rigged, and gosh darn it, Bernie Sanders is capitalizing on that. And how do we stop him from saying this publicly when it should only be private amongst us political elite and you elite bankers who know that the system is rigged? So rigging is something that's really in the population.
Right.
And yet they still go out and vote. And I want to really provide some historical context to this.
Okay.
Because in the Podesta emails, one of the shocking things is that in 2008, when John Podesta was the transition, he was the transition team guy for Obama. So he helped pick who would be in the cabinet. It turns out that Citigroup actually selected Obama's transition team. So I want to go back to 2 years ago because I have a memory and also access to Twitter. Somebody linked to this.
I had a memory. Now I just have social media.
So in 2014, Michael J. Glennon, who is an insider, who was a legal counsel to the Committee on Foreign Relations. He was also a counsel to the State Department and an advisor to various committees in Congress. So he's a very connected guy. And he wrote double government. And he maintains, here's the headline from Boston Globe regarding his book, written in 2014, by the way, before everybody admonished Trump for saying the election is rigged. Vote all you want, the secret government won't change. So he notes that, you know, voters chose Barack Obama in 2008 for hope and change. He ran on basically a civil liberties platform, that he would shut down all those bad, evil things that George Bush did, like spying on Americans and locking Guantanamo Bay. And then he notes that everybody 6 years in, at the point of this Boston Globe interview, 6 years in, everybody was like, wait, this is a completely the same thing as George Bush's administration. In fact, the drone war escalated. Guantanamo Bay was not shut down. The NSA spying became more aggressive. So he says, why did the face of the Oval Office change but the policies remain the same? Critics tend to focus on Obama himself, a leader who perhaps has shifted his politics to take a harder line, but Tufts University political scientist Michael J. Glennon has a more pessimistic answer. Obama could not have changed policies even if he tried, because he says it's a double government. There's a government that you choose, he says, there's the one we elect, and then there's the one behind it.
Okay, so they're using the term double government instead of shadow government,
yes,
or new world order.
Yes.
There's a term now called double government.
Yes.
Okay, double government.
So he comes up with this term double government.
Okay, it's the double government. It's not the shadow government. It's not the cabal. It's not the Rothschilds. It's not new world order. It's not Alex Jones. It's the double government.
It's that. There is one thing to say to the ignorant masses, the lumpen masses, and there's another thing to say in private to the likes of Lloyd Blankfein, and they quite clearly mock and laugh at the activists, at people who care about the vote, people who think their votes can have any sort of say in the outcome. And in fact, Michael J. Glennon, in this interview with Boston Globe back in 2014, when he asked, well, is there anything to do to stop this double government? And he does bring up that knowledge.
Adam Smith and the Age of Enlightenment and the beginning of classical economics and the idea that you could create price discovery through the greed of all participants in something called the free market worked for a while. But now, to get to your point about rigging, the cost of market rigging and vote rigging has crashed. So it's never been easier for an individual or a small group or cadre to rig markets, rig votes, and rig the system.
So he's saying that rigged system requires knowledge and non-ignorance and non-asymmetric information. Information should not be asymmetric. And Hillary Clinton clearly demonstrates in her conversations to the bankers that information is asymmetric, in that only they in private can discuss how rigged the system is. Do not tell the public. And what he says when asked how to change the system, he said the ultimate problem is the pervasive political ignorance on the part of the American people, and indifference to the threat that is emerging from these concealed institutions. That is where the energy for reform has to come from, the American people, not from government. Government is very much the problem here. The people have to take the bull by the horns, and that's a very difficult thing to do because the ignorance is in many ways rational. There is very little profit to be had in learning about and being active about problems that you cannot affect, policies that you can't change. Again, I say that these...
So you see that, guys? they're talking about this double government or secret government that exists, and there's nothing you can do unless the people educate themselves. Obviously, that's what this discussion is about. That's why we're trying to inform our people. Like I said, the master teacher has been trying to teach this for 50-some-odd years. And that's why we put out those Leviathan books. The first edition of the Leviathan book the master teacher put out was in 1971. 1971, guys. And we're still having a hard time with this subject matter. We're still totally ignorant about the nature of this government. Our people, by the millions, every vote season, they're going out to vote for these people. And it doesn't matter. That's the point. It does not matter who you vote for, because the policies are already set in stone how this government is going to operate. It has nothing to do with what the masses of people want. You know? And in fact, here, they're going to go into an important part, explaining how Barack Obama did not even get to choose the people in his cabinet. It was chosen for him by the bankers, and we're going to get into the bankers next in this discussion. So listen, listen.
The most important WikiLeaks revelation isn't about Hillary Clinton, but John Podesta's emails from 2008 reveal about the way power works and the Democratic Party. But of course, as Michael J. Glennon pointed out, this is about all of the political parties in America. And what they show is that Michael Froman, who is now the U.S. Trade Representative, and he goes around negotiating TTIP and TPP and stuff, but at that point, he was an executive at Citigroup, one of the largest banks in America. And this was written in email October 6, 2008, one full month before you went out to express your democratic rights to determine who the president, who the policies, who what the future of your country will be, at least for the next 4 years. Well, October 6th, and about 2 months before Citigroup received the largest bailout in U.S. history, well, Michael Froman at Citigroup sent an email to John Podesta, who was heading Obama's transition team into the White House, i.e. he would choose his cabinet. Well, Michael Froman, Citigroup, sent an email telling him who the cabinet should be. And remarkably, the cabinet list ended up being almost entirely on the money. It correctly identified Eric Holder for Justice, Janet Napolitano for Homeland Security, Robert Gates for Defense, Rahm Emanuel for Chief of Staff, Peter Olszewski for the Office of Management and Budget, Arne Duncan for Education, Eric Chinesky for Veterans Affairs, Captain Sebelius for Health and Human Services, Melody Barnes, and more. For the Treasury, three possibilities were on the list: Robert Rubin, Larry Summers, and Timothy Geithner.
So Citibank picked the cabinet.
Citigroup picked the cabinet, it appears, it would appear.
Yeah.
Perhaps they were on the same page.
Okay, so bankers, in essence, picked Barack Obama's cabinet. How does that make any sense? These, again, this is what I was saying before. You have corporations, private citizens, choosing who should be running the government. That's just another example of it. And here, there's now we're going to get into the bank, right? The Federal Reserve, where is this at? If I can find it, I thought I had it right here. And this is talking about the Federal Reserve and the fact that the Federal Reserve Bank, for those who do not know, it's a private corporation, guys. The Federal Reserve Bank, for those who do not know, is a private corporation. It's not a part of the federal government. It's very important to understand that. Now, here's the guy who wrote the book called Creature from Jekyll Island. He's explaining this particular subject matter, his book, why he wrote it, why it's important. So listen up.
First written in 1994. But it is currently in its 32nd printing. This is the fifth edition, and the author is G. Edward Griffin, and he's joining us here on Book TV on C-SPAN 2 in Las Vegas. Mr. Griffin, what is the creature from Jekyll Island? Or what is the creature?
What is the creature, yeah. I'd find that title because I thought if anybody saw it in the bookstore, they might think it was a sequel to the Jurassic Park or something like that. The creature from Jekyll Island is the Federal Reserve. And the reason for the Jekyll Island connection, one of the most interesting things about the Federal Reserve is that it was created on Jekyll Island. It's a real island off the coast of Georgia. And it was on that island back in 1910 that a small group of men gathered, and it was their mission to draft what became eventually the Federal Reserve Act. And I see you're going to show the pictures there, yeah. Those are the guys. And the funny thing about that piece of history is that the Federal Reserve bill was being sold to the American people at that time as a piece of legislation that was going to somehow control those big, bad bankers. And what they didn't realize is that the big, bad bankers, if you look at that right there, those are the epitome of the great power centers of banking. They were the ones that were busy writing the bill that was supposed to control.
Who are these six gentlemen, Mr. Griffin?
Well, they're represented primarily. Senator Aldridge is the only one that wasn't a bank. He was a politician. He was the one that was sort of spearheading the political side of it.
But father-in-law also to John Rockefeller.
John Rockefeller, yes. He was tied in very closely to the banking fraternity and the industrial complex. A very wealthy guy in his own right. Probably the most important political figure in the United States is president of Woodrow Wilson in those days. But the rest of these guys are all bankers, and they represented the dynasties of J.P. Morgan and William and the Rockefeller dynasty. And they had connection to Kuhn Logan Company that were there, and that means they were connected to the Rothschilds in England and France. And Max Warburg was there. I mean, Paul Warburg was there, as he had connected to his brother Max, who was the head of the banking, the Warburg Banking Consortium in Germany and the Netherlands. And so what we have is this is an international group here, really, representing international finance. And if there was anything that was the epitome of the big bad bankers of the world, these were the banks. So what happened there is that they knew that there was going to be some kind of a move to control banking. They knew that Congress was going to pass some kind of a law to regulate banking. And so instead of being stupid about it and just sitting back and saying, oh, I hope they don't do too bad, they decided to take the lead. They said, we'll write the bill. We'll make sure that it's to our liking. And so that's what it's all about. They went to Jekyll Island where nobody knew they were going. They had a meeting that was a great deal of secrecy. They denied that they went for many years thereafter, you know. But they actually drafted the Federal Reserve Act on Jekyll Island in 1910, and then the next 3 years, it took that much time to promote it and get it through Congress.
So 1910, okay. So again, these are private men writing the laws in this country, writing the laws. They wrote the Federal Reserve Act, and we're going to get into that a little bit. But this is the reality, right? This is the essence of the secret government. Okay, so let's go on. Question, what is the significance of the creation of the Federal Reserve Act, secret government, right? So that's the question. Answer, he or she who controls a people's money supply will be able to control people's labor and lives. People must understand that central banks, like the Federal Reserve, are controlled by private individuals who have the power to create money out of nothing, but the people who use this money must either labor for it or exchange natural resources that has real-world value for paper called money that has zero intrinsic value. The public do not understand that by giving private men the power to create money makes the people who work for this money slaves to this money, which is proven by how people react to money. They kill for it, steal for it, lie for it, cheat for it, sell their bodies for it, sell people for it, called slavery. The desire for money has made people commit crimes that are unthinkable. These private white men use this money as a tool to control people, at the same time use this money to create power for themselves, to the point where they now do not need money any longer, since they control governments and the most powerful global corporations of the world. Okay? So, you know, you guys have an idea of the scope. I'm trying to give you an idea of the scope and power that these guys have, this so-called secret government, these so-called private individuals who are controlling the public government, guys. Okay, so here's another discussion on talking about the scope and power of the secret government. Listen to this.
Powerful information, yeah.
Was counseling for strategic and international studies, professor of American foreign policy at John Hopkins, national security advisor to President Jimmy Carter, trustee and founder of the Trilateral Commission, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, international advisor to several major corporations, associate of Henry Kissinger. I also worked for Ronald Reagan in intelligence capacity. Co-chairman of the Bush National Security Advisory Task Force in 1988. Now,
real quick, this guy he's talking about, Zbigniew Brzezinski.
I love these clips. These brothers doing a good job on research. I love that.
Guys, those who do not know, he's responsible for getting Barack Obama or selected to get elected. All right, this guy was a part of the secret government. Okay, he was a bureaucrat, as they call them. And he wrote a book that this guy's going to explain. He's explaining in this particular book how the secret government controls the world, how they should dominate the planet. Okay, and it's very important because it ties into what China is doing right now. In fact, China is doing what he explained in this particular book, because he talked about, this book came out in the 90s, and it was about the race to control the planet, whether it be the Europeans or the Asians. It was basically who was going to control the planet in the next turn of the century, okay? Whether it be, again, these white men, or is it going to be the China come to power, okay? So listen up.
You want to get really angry, go buy this book. It's called The Grand Chessboard, American Primacy and Its Geostrategic Objectives, written by Zbigniew Brzezinski in 1997. I'm going to read you some quotes from that book. It's the very first words in the book. The last decades of the 20th century have witnessed a tectonic shift in world affairs. For the first time ever, a non-Eurasian power has emerged not only as a key arbiter of Eurasian power relations, but also as the world's paramount power. The collapse of the Soviet Union was the final step in the rapid ascendance of a Western Hemisphere power, the United States, as the sole and indeed the first truly global superpower. Page XII, it's in the preface. But in the meantime, he says, it is imperative that no Eurasian challenger, Eurasia is everything in between, roughly east of Germany all the way to the Pacific Ocean, south through the Indian subcontinent, includes the Middle East. It's imperative that no Eurasian challenger, by that he means Russia or China, emerges capable of dominating Eurasia and thus of also challenging America. The formulation of a comprehensive and integrated Eurasian geostrategy is therefore the purpose of this book, Geostrategy, Eurasia. The attitude of the American public toward the external projection of American power has been much more ambivalent. The public supported America's engagement in World War II largely because of the shock effect of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Gets worse. For America, the chief geopolitical prize is Eurasia. Now a non-Eurasian power, like us, is preeminent in Eurasia, and America's global primacy, isn't that arrogant? America's global primacy is directly dependent on how long and how effectively its preponderance on the Eurasian continent is sustained. What he's saying is that if the U.S. wants to stay top dog, we have to control Eurasia. America's withdrawal from the world, or because of the sudden emergence of a successful rival, would produce massive international stability. It would prompt global anarchy. You know what he's saying there? Yeah, a little global anarchy is probably a damn good thing right now. What he's saying there is, if we don't control the world by whatever means necessary, the world's going to be miserable. He didn't ask my opinion. Did he ask yours? Okay. In that context, how America manages Eurasia, do we manage people around the world? Is that our job? Is critical. Eurasia is the globe's largest continent and is geopolitically axial. A power that dominates Eurasia would control two of the world's three most advanced and economically productive regions. A mere glance at the map also suggests that control over Eurasia would almost automatically entail Africa's subordination.
You hear that? So he's saying they're told about how they're going to control the world, conquer the planet, basically white nations. And they're using America represents the military might for the secret government. Again, America represents the military might for the secret government. And they're saying whoever can control Eurasia, which is the Asiatic nations, will automatically control Africa. And that's why the battle now between the United States and China And you guys, anyone who researched what's going on with China, they're all they're doing is influencing Africa. They're all over Africa. And they're getting African nations to support them, the Chinese that is, they're getting African nations to support them on political agendas. For instance, basically all of the African nations, they're saying, do not acknowledge Taiwan, Taiwan, because China feels that Taiwan should be a part of China and not its own separate nation. And there's a struggle now going on between the United States and China over Taiwan. Should Taiwan be independent, as if these people don't have the right to choose their own independence? But the Chinese want to make Taiwan a part of China, not giving them the right to choose how they want to run their government. And all the African nations are going along with the Chinese because they're indebted to the Chinese. Because we're not players in the world. We don't have no real world power. We don't have any world respect because we're not paying attention to how things are running on this planet. That's why we have to become knowledgeable about the nature and of this thing we call in secret government, guys. We can't stress this enough, you know. We can't stress this enough. Well, let me go on to, let's see, where are we at? Where are we at here? Okay, so question. What is MJ-12? What is MJ-12? MJ-12 stands for Majestic, a.k.a. 12, or 12 Mighty Ones, excuse me, which is a biblical term related to angels. This was a group of 12 white men made up of politicians, scientists, military, and businessmen whose purpose was to be the human contact for ETs who visit Earth. This is a secret group of people who are actors of the secret government whose job was to deal with ET contact for Earth. People must realize the scope, knowledge, and power of the secret government. It is now becoming public knowledge exposed the government's secret program to study the UFO phenomenon. If people were to look at the work of Dr. Stephen Greer's Disclosure Project, where he had in 2001 over 500 military witnesses who claimed to be involved in a secret government cover-up of the UFO phenomenon. The point being made is that the evidence of the secret government is overwhelming for anyone who chooses to study the subject matter. The problem with this issue is that people have acquired great influence, power, and control over the mass majority of the human family and use their knowledge to influence the population to make irrational decisions that damage our lives. Okay, so now I will say, refer to Eisenhower. President Eisenhower warned about this secret government, and he called it the military-industrial complex, right? So here, where are we at? Eisenhower is talking about it. Listen.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. Every gun that is made, every warship launch, every rocket fire signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who rule and are not fed, those who are cold and are not put. This world in arms is not spending money alone. It is spending the sweat of its laborers, the genius of its science, the hope of its children. The cost of one modern heavy bomber is this, a modern brick school in more than 30 cities. It is two electric power plants, each serving a town of 50,000 population. It is two fine, fully equipped hospitals. It is some 50 miles of country. We pay for a single fighter plane with a 500,000 bushels a week. We pay for a single destroyer with new homes that could have housed more than 8,000 people.
than it needs when millions of children in our country are food insecure, when 140 million Americans cannot afford the basic necessities of life without going into debt.
Now look at that. This is advertising paid for Bernie Sanders running for his elected office. But what's ironic about it is he's trying to show how this country operates. They're spending more on military spending than trying to deal with domestic issues of the people, the needs of the people. They don't care about the needs of the people. They're about making weapons, making money off of those weapons, and controlling the public, you know? So, you know, the master teacher, he wrote about this group called the MJ-12 in this book right here, The Mission Earth. And he gave a list of the different members of this particular MJ-12. This is on, page 77, where he talks about it in this particular book. He says, Operation Majestic 12, prepare for Eisenhower. By the use of the word majestic, it is known that the word majestic, same as the word al-Jabbar, which is known in Arabic as Jabbarian, also Gibor. In Hebrews Genesis chapter 6, given to Dwight D. Eisenhower on November the 18th, 1952, referred to as the MJ-12 Project, or Majestic 12, was set up by President Truman on September the 24th, 1947. And these were the 12 Majestics. So he has a list of the individuals that they selected as a part of this particular group that dealt with extra ETs. That was the goal of this particular secret group. Here's another discussion about the MJ-12. Listen to this.
Mexico. Ancient astronaut theorist Giorgio Tsoukalos is at the home of Linda Moldau. After examining all of the material related to the Majestic 12, she believes that the most compelling document.
All right, so as much as 1:11 on clock, right? Just as much as I would love to continue this podcast, guys, we're going to have to end it here. I'm not going to do a part two. Well, no, there's 19 minutes left. But I'm going to add his clip in the show notes, guys. You should probably want to go back and listen to some of the research he's done. This is why I love what I do at the Hanson Institute. I love how the brothers and sisters, and, you know, I love people who, you know, just they really take their time to research. They sit down and they kind of put the puzzle together. They put the pieces together, you know what I mean? So this is why I love networking. So go and like and subscribe to his channel, guys, and listen to the content of it. But there's definitely things, you know, the title of this podcast was called What is Going On in the Shadows, you know, and I feel that there's many different levels of things that we may not know or may not be aware of, although it's coming into fruition and awareness and to the point of what's going on, because see, if things are revealed, you know, in a premature matter, if you will, you know, it takes away from the control aspect of, you know, this whole route, I feel, is about control, wanting to control a people or a agenda or whatever, what have you. Go plug in your own research again, right? Don't believe me. Do your research, right? Don't believe us. Do your research. So, interesting. Shout out to the brother who put this together. Love. You know, it's been a while since I really just loved how somebody just really went back and got all the puzzle pieces and just put it into one pocket. That's amazing. I love it. All right, guys. So a few more minutes and then I'll close out.
Are those that surfaced in Maryland in 1994?
The best document to see. It's called Restricted Time 101. Majestic 12 Group. And all of us, when we first saw that title, Extraterrestrial Entities in Technology, Recovery and Disposal, one of the first things that everybody wanted to do was find out, okay, did they use this stamp in 1954 from the War Office? It turns out that they did, all the way up into the 60s. And one of the more important pieces, I think, is as you go through here, they found in a government printing office, take a look at this. This is from a blow-up where they were doing a test. And look at this unauthorized, and look at what happens to that knee. It raises slightly.
Right.
So Bob went to the government printing office and found a guy named McCarter who was printing in the GPO in Washington, D.C. in 1954. And he took one look at this text, and he said, this was done on a monotype. I used it, and the Z would collect dust, and that's why the Z would print great.
So different steps have been taken to authenticate this document.
Yes.
The fellow I spoke to, he fortunately had been a long, long time employee of the public printer. And it actually worked on the kind of presses that he thought were appropriate for this document. He said, based on the physics, say it clearly was printed on one of the presses in this building or in this basement.
Now, let me just stop here. They're trying to show the proof that these documents, these government documents about the MJ-12 is authentic, because when you research it, they try to say those documents are not real government documents. And they're trying to say it is real government documents, and they can prove it because it's the typewriters that they were using. These are government typewriters, and so you can identify when letters that were written by these particular typewriters at that time, okay? And so because there's a lot of controversy over whether or not MJ-12 really existed, again, because it's a part of the secret government, and they don't want to tell the general public that there's branches or there's fractions operating within the government that are doing things that the public doesn't know, like dealing with UFOs, because you're talking about this is the 1950s. The public had no idea that this government was dealing with ETs. They keep all this stuff secret. That's why it's called secret government. But listen on.
In 1954, which is what it said.
And then when you start getting into what is in this book, you have the illustrations and sketches of four different categories of different craft, UFOs. And on this page, here are the discs. Here is a long cigar shape, which is described in this document as being up to 1,000 feet in diameter. And then this one, the ice cream cone, and this, the triangle. And there is a paragraph in here that implies that we are dealing with collaboration, that there must be some agreement between the United States and the extraterrestrials.
Yeah.
There is, on this page 17, it's under chapter 5, and it goes into A, encounters initiated by the extraterrestrial biological entities. Possible contact may take place as a result of overtures by the entities themselves. In these instances, it is anticipated that encounters will take place at military installations or other obscure locations selected by mutual agreement.
By mutual?
Yeah, wow. 1954.
According to the Majestic 12 documents, the men who made up this group and were in communication with beings from other worlds included top scientists, government officials, and high-ranking military personnel.
Okay, so again, you know, that's just trying to give people some insight about, you know, operations of the secret government. And as we can see, you know, this group called the MJ-12 is, this is the reality. This is what we're dealing with. The United States government, you know, they're being used you have layers to the government. As they said, it's a double government. You have one layer that shows its face to the public, and then there's a hidden layer that is operating in the background, doing what it does, its own private agenda for the elite people who control this planet, guys. So next question, how does the media play into the power of the secret government? Answer, all levels of media are controlled by the secret government, whether it be news, social media, or all levels of entertainment. As black people, we can clearly see how the media promote the greatness of whiteness and the degradation of blackness. White is good or God, and black is bad or the devil. These images of white versus black in the media are not by chance, but by calculated thought. If we research the so-called father of public relations, Edward Bernays, this is his picture right here in above. He wrote a book called Propaganda. Guys, he's the guy who came up with the concept, propaganda, back in the early 1900s. Let's keep going. It says, Edward Bernays, who focused on how to influence the behavior of the masses of the population. Edward Bernays was an individual who was employed by the global elite on how to use media to control the public thinking in the early 1900s. Edward Bernays should be credited with teaching media how to get black people to behave in ways that is against their own self-interest, such as black women wearing blonde hair or black people becoming rich, forgetting about using their wealth to help their race, or how when black people become educated in white people's schools, they lose identity with their African heritage. Guys, he created this slogan. Everybody's familiar with this slogan, I want you, U.S. Army, Uncle Sam. He came up with that slogan, right? And we know, as the Master Chief has taught us, this Sam is a code name for the devil, Samael. Samael is the name of the devil. We're going to get into that. He goes on to say, we now see in the media how they are trying to convince the upcoming generations that it is okay to be gay, that mixed race couples are okay, or how it's better to eat fast food rather than cook something that is healthier at home. If you don't control what goes into yours or your children's mind, someone else will. Anyone who researched Edward Bernays, he makes it very clear that he is an agent of the secret government, not to mention that he is one of the persons responsible for the Uncle Sam campaign, which is a symbol or one of the names of the devil, a.k.a. Samael. This campaign was about convincing men to fight, kill, and die in wars that benefit the global elite at the expense of the sweat, blood, and tears of young, able-bodied men. Okay, so here's some information on Edward Bernays, right? Now check this out. We're going to go to a clip. This here talks about this is somebody reading from his book called Propaganda. This is what he put in his book. Listen to this.
All right, so we're going to listen to this and then we're going to close out, guys, because it's like another hour and 30 minutes left on this. So definitely enjoyed this, but he dropped a lot of books. Go back and catch a replay. And again, this is for you to do your own research, guys. Love you guys. Join me tomorrow, Spiritual Soul Sunday. What is a word magic? All right, it's an e-book or audio book on word magic, because you know that words and spells, right? Well, at least we need to know. All right, guys, till next time. Peace.
Intelligent manipulation of the organized the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country.
Did I hear that? The invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. So he's talking about the secret government. Now, mind you guys, this is like 1910, 1920s when this book came out. Right? that need to be aware of the timeline that we're dealing with. The secret government is not new. That's what I was trying to say. It's ancient. Okay, let's keep going.
We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of our daily lives, whether in the sphere of politics or business, in our social conduct or our ethical thinking. We are dominated by the relatively small number of persons who understand the mental processes and social patterns of the masses. It is they who pull the wires which control the public mind, who harness old social forces and contrive new ways to bind and guide the world. This passage was written by Edward Bernays, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, and a pioneering mind behind advertising, modern propaganda, and the field of public relations. Bernays' influence was enormous. Relying heavily on the insights of his uncle, he developed highly successful manipulation techniques which are still used today, not only by companies to sell consumer products, but also by the powers that be to, in the words of Bernays, control and regiment the masses.
Damn. Tactics of manipulation and control. There's our route. All right, guys, till next time.